Good morning. Glad to see y'all today. I can see. Now, I want to give you a heads up. We're trying out something new with the mic. So if it gets a little hot, just bear with us. All the snap, crackle, and pop we've been going through, we're trying a new battery pack to see if that'll help kind of smooth things out. So just bear with us. It'll be all right. I promise. I am glad to see y'all today. And you know, really, today is a special Sunday for us as we prepare to have the Lord's Supper a little bit later in the service together. But before we get there, you got to listen to me. So, amen. Thank you. Thank you, sister. But before we actually get there, I want to read to you from Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10. And something that I read earlier this week that really kind of helped make a decision on something that we were contemplating. And I can talk to you more about that later. But right now, listen to these verses. It says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your hand will lay hold of me." You know, what's so great about these verses is, you know, I don't know where you are this morning. But you may be finding yourself wandering, not wondering, but wandering, seeking the Lord, not knowing where He's taking you or what He has in store for you. But wherever you are, those verses give us a great promise that there God is. And so if you're finding yourself, "God, I don't know where you are. I don't know where I am today," rest in the scriptures that say He is right there with you. And He will guide you. He will lead you. It says that His hand will lay a hold of you, so we can have assurance that no matter where we are, the Lord is with us. So with that in mind this morning, I really hope that you find those verses encouraging. They were so encouraging to me this week. So with that in mind, let's pray and we'll get started. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be in your presence this morning. God, we have more than 10,000 reasons to praise your name. If we really stopped and took consideration of all that you've done for us, God, it would outnumber the stars in the sky. So God, this morning we come before you and we ask that you would speak to us, that God, you would speak directly into our hearts, God, right where we are, right here this morning. Father, we desire to be in your presence. We desire a word from you, God, a word that will change our lives. God, that we can be life-changing to those around us. Father, we give you this time. It's in your name we pray. Amen. You know, it's hard to believe that here we are at the beginning of another month. I mean, seriously, where have the last 4 months gone? It's the beginning of May, for crying out loud. And it was 40 degrees and sleeting yesterday. I thought we were in Oklahoma. Oh, wait, we are in Oklahoma. That's right. So it makes perfect sense. But here we are again in May and continuing to lay out our Be Light vision that we talked about back in January. In this month, our series, we're going to be talking about our possessions and stewardship. So before you start packing up your Bibles and heading out the door, I want you to understand two things. One, the doors are locked. You can't leave. I'm just kidding. But really what I want us to understand is that our possessions, the things that God has given us, I'm not just going to talk about money today. It's not just about money. Stewardship isn't just about the change in the cash in our pockets. It's only part of the many gifts, the talents, the time, the energy, and the valuables that God has given to us. And we each have things that He's given to us that we can use. But I want to make one point, that it's fitting for us to know that in 2 weeks we are taking up the balancing our budget offering. So we're not going to get away from the aspect that God wants us to give the money that He has given to us. So I hope that that's all I have to say, because I'm not going to get on money today. But it's my prayer that as we discuss this topic of stewardship, and that as we come each week with open hearts and open minds, ready to hear from God about what He's given us and how we're to use those things in His kingdom, and I want to say to further His kingdom, you know, there's a number of marvelous words for us to hear in today's verses, and we're going to get there in a second. But in order for us to be good stewards of all that God has given us, we need to talk about trusting God first. We've got to trust Him first. You know, what about trusting Him? What about trusting us? And what happens when our relationship with Him is based on trust and obedience? And this might get a little sticky. especially as we talk about our possessions and our stuff. But however, if we are truthful, none of it's ours anyway, right? None of it's ours anyway. So I want you to turn to Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 10. And I ask that you follow along. You don't have to stand this morning, but I ask that you follow along as we look at trusting God and being great stewards of the possessions that He's given us. Proverbs 3, verses 1 through 10 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." Verse 5 and 6, I believe we all know them. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." You know, as we dive into today's message, I want to share with you the basis, kind of the premise of what I'm envisioning this month to be. It goes something like this. Trust is the most important factor in two things. And the first one is knowing God and His will for my life. Knowing God and His will for my life. We have to trust that God knows what He's doing. We've gone through this a couple of months ago. If we don't trust that God has a plan and a purpose for us, man, we just fall apart. At least I do. Some of y'all may be stronger, but I know that I do. The second thing that I want us to understand is this, that growing His kingdom and myself as a steward, that takes trust. Again, that He knows what He's doing. That He knows what He's given us is for His benefit, not just for ours. It's for the benefit of those around us. So we have a lot to get through this morning. If you haven't looked at your sermon notes, flip them over back and forth. There's no room for extra notes. I'm sorry. Write it on your arm. Try to memorize it, whatever you need to do. But there's no room for anything extra this morning. So I want you to hang on. Bear with me and follow along closely because we're going to move quickly. All right. I want to look at a couple of observations first on Proverbs 3, 1 through 10. A few of those observations are this. Number one, the commands are all-inclusive. Like I said, we're moving quick. The commands are all-inclusive. If you noticed in there were no exceptions. There were no exceptions. He didn't say that we were to partially obey the Lord's commands. We were to partially obey His teachings and instructions. He didn't say with most of our heart we were to trust Him, does it? He says, lean not on your own understanding. With all your ways acknowledge Him. Not just some of them. Not just when you feel like it. We're supposed to let Him lead us in all ways, in all times. But I want to notice these words. And depending on your translation, you're going to see the words completely, always, all, ever, all of your crops. What does that say to you? Does that say partial or does that say with everything? It's with everything. We're not to hold anything back because, as we said, it's not ours anyway. It's the Lord's. These words are all inclusive. There's no exceptions. There's no leaks. There's no way for anything to escape out. It's all inclusive. And He says, I want you to understand that trust is a total affair in your heart and in mine. We have to trust the Lord. That's just one observation. The commands are all inclusive, church. Number two, the commands precede a promise. And often we see this throughout Scripture. That God says He wants us to do this, do some certain thing, and that when we follow through, we receive the promise. God tells us that if we do these things, He's going to do some wonderful things in return. And we've seen this time and time again. We've talked about Deuteronomy 6, that when we teach our kids and when we teach our homes in the Word of God and we're rooted in the Word of God, that we're going to have length of days and our days are going to prosper. That's what He's talking about here in Proverbs 3, that when we honor the Lord from our wealth and from our first fruits, and again, that's not just financial, that's our talents and our abilities, that when we honor Him with what He's given us, we're going to receive the promise of being able to stand on Him, and He's just going to bless us more. Now, I'm not here to say that we're out for prosperity in the gospel. That's not it at all. Rather, we're looking for prosperity in our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we stand on this morning. The third thing, the third observation is this, is that the promises are conditional. And this will probably sound familiar as well, but when we do our part, God does His part. If we trust Him completely, if we obey Him completely, there it is, it's trust and obey. He has some wonderful provisions for us as His children. And again, over the past few months, we've seen that as a theme as well, that when we are obedient to follow through with what the Lord is asking us to do, we receive a great blessing. And what happens, that blessing flows out from us to those around us. So again, we're looking at our possessions, our gifts, our time, our talent, our energy, as not being just for us, but being for those around us too. Let's move on to the next thing. Some stewardship statements. It's a lot of S's there. Stewardship statements. And the first one is this. It says, God is trustworthy. God is trustworthy, and He is worthy of our complete confidence. He is totally dependable. I'll give you a second to write those down. I'll give you a second to let those sink in. God is trustworthy. Worthy of our complete confidence. Totally dependable. Can anybody say the contrary to those things this morning? That God is not dependable, that He is not trustworthy. I hope you can't. I hope that you have prayed to the Lord and you've seen Him work in your life in a way that you can say, that is only from the hand of the Lord that I've seen this happen. He is trustworthy. The second one is this, is God has entrusted, He's placed in our care the possessions, now get this, opportunities, the talents, and time that we now experience. Even the opportunities that He places in our paths each day, we need to be good stewards of. We see somebody coming down the hallway, coming down the street, whatever it may be, in the office place, and the Spirit impresses upon our heart, you need to talk to that person today, and we miss it. Who's to say that wasn't their chance to hear the gospel that day? Who's to say that wasn't the chance for them to have an encouraging word spoken into their life? Even the opportunities. We've mentioned possessions and talents and even our energy day to day, but when you see somebody walking down the hall, walking down the street, whatever it may be, God may be saying to you, just say a word. Just say a word. The third thing that we need to see is that we are trustees of everything God has given us. And that's really what a steward is. It's somebody that's been given oversight of somebody else's affairs. And as children of God, that's what He has said. You're going to oversee these things for me for a little while. We're going to take care of them together. But we have to trust that He is able to take care of them and not hold on to them ourselves. But I suppose now we're going to have to ask ourselves some questions. I want you to ask yourself quietly, do I trust God? Where do I place my faith? Where do I place my confidence? And again, I hold up a mirror to myself when I ask those very questions. Because it's easy to say, man, it's really easy to say, I trust God. Kind of like passing each other here on Sunday morning. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good. When inside, you're just dying. It's really easy to say, man, I trust God. It's easy to say, oh, yes, I obey Him completely. Just don't see what I do on Friday nights. I trust Him completely. I'm obeying every word that He speaks to me. But this is for our personal introspection. Do I trust God? Is He truly my source? Do I trust Him in everything? Do I trust Him in some things? Do I trust Him in big things but not in small things? Or do I trust Him in small things but not in big things? I kind of want to take control of those big things. Can we trust Him? And it's an incredible question, but it's the key to success, and it's not an easy thing in a self-reliant society. If you think about it today, we want to take control of every situation that we're in. But there are times when God says, my child, let me take this over for you. And we have to say, God, I don't know if I trust you. Or say, yeah, Lord, have it because I can't do it. Do we trust him completely? Can I trust you? Can I trust God? But in the study on stewardship, we're also going to ask another question. And if you think the first one kind of makes you sweat bullets, this one may do it even more. Can God trust me? Can God trust me? Does he trust me? Have I proven to be a trustworthy person? Can he give me what he wants to, knowing that I am trustworthy? Or am I one of these people who are trustworthy in some areas, but not in others? Remember, what did our scripture say? All your ways, in everything we need to honor him, in everything we need to trust him. So does God look upon us and say, you know what, Chris? Me, Chris, not anybody else. There's a couple of Chris's out there. But does he look at me and say, Chris, I just can't trust you with this next thing because you haven't been faithful in this thing. Show me that you're faithful to me. Show me that you trust me in this thing, and I'm going to bust the doors of heaven wide open in your life. Can he trust me? God says, I cannot touch this area in your life because you're not yet trustworthy. And he wants to give us so much more, church. And it's not just physically, it's spiritually. He wants to give us so much more. And it may be that we have to prove to him, like I was saying, that we are trustworthy and we can take on more responsibility before he will take us to the next level in our walk with him. And I don't know about you, but that's something I don't want to miss out on. Lord, if you have a greater thing for me spiritually, I don't want to miss out on it. And again, it's not about the things that we can get on this earth. It's about what we gain in heaven when we meet him. It's the possession of heaven. It's the possession of our life in him. So let's take just a few minutes about talking about the trustworthiness of God and really what does that look like? So as we look at some trustworthy statements about God, number one, God's care is constant. God's care is constant. When it comes to trusting God, you can rest assured that he gives us both. He gives you and gives me constant care. And you can write this down to look at it later, but Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says this, he himself, God himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid, what will man do to me? God's care is constant. And isn't that a great promise? What can man do to me? I'm standing on the word of God that says he's never going to leave me or forsake me. And literally in the original language, it reads it this way. I will not, no, not leave thee, never will I forsake thee. Somebody might say that's a double, triple, quadruple negative, but it works. It works. As I was doing some study, I was reading a little story about George Beverly Shea, who was the singer who partnered with Billy Graham for so many years. He was sharing that he had many requests to be sung at churches. He said the strangest request that he ever got was when somebody handed him a slip of paper one time and wanted him to sing a song entitled, God's Grip Don't Slip. Marvelous theology. Horrible grammar, but God's grip don't slip. If you don't leave with anything else, you can leave with that today. God's grip don't slip. God constantly cares for us. And remember, it's because of that that Peter can later tell us that we are to cast all of our anxiety onto him, all of our worries upon the Lord. Because why? Again, his care is constant. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And it's not just occasional. It's not sporadic. It's not just because we're doing the right things. But his care is total. It's not partial. His care is sovereign. Do you understand that today? He alone cares for us. And there's nothing that can touch you or me. There's nothing, church, that can come to us without first touching our God and our Savior. He has to allow it to pass through his hands because sometimes he may say, yeah, my servant is worthy of that. You look at Job. And he had some trials that came through his life. But God was able to say, you know what? He will not. He will not curse my name. He will not turn his back on me. I hope that you're in that same position this morning. Not only is his care constant, but church, what about the gifts and the abilities and the things that he gives us? And that's the second thing that I want us to see. God's gifts are generous. That's supposed to be a two, not a one. I'm not sure what happened there. God not only constantly cares for us, but He is generous in His provisions to us. He has blessed us with gifts and talents, all kinds of blessings. I want you to write this down, Psalm 136, and that when you have time today, go back and read that chapter. But Psalm 136 says this. I'm just going to read the first four verses. I lost my place here just a second. Psalm 136, verses 1 through 4 says this. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the God of gods, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His loving kindness is everlasting. To Him who alone does great wonders, for His loving kindness is everlasting. Do you see a theme there in those first four verses? It carries out through the entire chapter. Give thanks to the Lord, for His loving kindness is everlasting. And every time that the psalmist makes a great statement about God, he says, God's love is everlasting. His loving kindness is everlasting. Church, I'm so glad this morning that Jesus never fails. I'm so glad that His love has never failed, and it never will fail. Everything that He gives us is for our benefit. And remember, church, it's also for His glory. Everything that we have is because He wants to bless us and bless those around us. Why? So that they will see His good works. They will see the good works that God does in our life, and they will glorify our Father who's in heaven. That's why we have what we have. Wealthiest nation in the world. And you may not feel like you're part of it this morning. But if you have a car, if you can read, if you even have two pair of clothing, you are some of the richest people in the world. Understand that this morning. It's a difficult place to be, I understand. But we looked into a couple of areas of God's trustworthiness to us this morning. But how do we develop our trust in Him? That's something that sometimes we have to do to say, God, I just don't know if I can do it. So we've got to develop our trust in Him. And there's times that we may be tempted to say, God, I can't trust You. Or I won't trust You. But we've got to develop that in our lives. So let's take a look at a couple of things on how we can develop our trust in the Lord. And number one is this, that we are trusting in adversity. We trust the Lord in adversity. We're responsible to trust Him in times of adversity, but we are dependent upon the Holy Spirit to be able to do so. The Spirit within us has to enable us in those times that we are going through trials, when we are going through adversity, to say, I can't do this, Lord. I don't know that I can trust You to get me through this. And that's the time when we're on our knees, we're praying, God, help me out of this. And what happens? The Spirit comes within us. David says in Psalm 56:4, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. Learn those verses. Psalm 34, he says, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. When we are in that place of adversity, when we are in that place of trial, and we say, God, I can't do it on my own, He comes to us. And He meets us where we are, just like we read in Psalm 139. No matter where we are, God is there and He's going to lead us through that place that we need Him to lead us. But what's David saying in these verses? He's saying, you and I are responsible to obey and trust God. That's our part. Even in adversity. But here's where the conflict comes in. I want you to hang on with me. Here's our problem. That God asks us to obey or to trust Him in an area of our life that's bigger than what we can reason. There's one problem. We're trying to reason it ourselves. But it's bigger than what we can reason or understand. And instead of doing our part, which is what? Total trust and total obedience, we want to get over to His side. Remember, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago now, about knowing God's will and knowing God's purpose for our life. And we say, okay, God, this is what You're going to do for me. Now bless it. And how often does that work for us? How often does it work for others that you've seen? Again, it's not you in here, it's those people out there, right? Those people that you know. Now, God, if You do this, how are You, if I do this, how are You going to work? If I really let You have my marriage, It's almost like, God, you just don't understand all the problems I've got in my marriage. You don't know what I've been going through. You just can't figure this out, Lord. If I surrender this financial issue to you, Lord, I'm not sure you understand how bad my finances are. We get into where God should be saying, child, be quiet. I have something better for you. And we try to tell him what the plans are. And we try to tell him how to make things work. We mess things up. It's what we do. I'm not really sure, God, you understand how deep the problems go. It's just a lie, church. It's just a lie. He understands. It's so simple for us. And I think that's why Jesus said, for us to enter into heaven, we have to have faith like a child. Have to have the mind of a child. The simplicity. The willingness to be vulnerable just to say, yes, God, and trust him. One of the things my BSU director would tell us at TU, sometimes the best thing to say is, yes, Lord, yes. Now, what's the question? Yes, Lord, yes. Now, where do you want me to go? Simplicity, obedience, even in adversity when we don't have answers. Oh, that's hard. When we haven't figured it all out, that's when we need to say, yes, God, I trust you. Even when we have to say like the psalmist, I trust in the Lord, and the Lord, I give you my fears. That's not conflict. That's not a double standard of statements. What he's really saying is, God, I believe you, and God, help my unbelief. Have we heard that before? God, help my unbelief. And we've all been there before. I'm willing to obey you, God. And yet there's something within me that wants to pull back. God, I just don't know if I can. Lord, help me. Help me see your hand working in my life. So he's basically saying again, God, I don't understand, but I'm willing to trust you. You know, sometimes all it takes is that step of willingness to say, God, I trust you. And especially when we're talking about the gifts and the possessions that he's given us. And he says, I want you to give that up. I want you to give that away so that you can be a blessing to somebody else. What did he say to the rich young ruler? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor. The rich young ruler, he went away sad because he had great wealth. But yet what happened, he missed the greatest gift that he could have had in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second thing, and here's something that might sound contradictory, is we are trusting in plenty. We trust in adversity. We also need to trust the Lord in plenty. The extent to which we genuinely thank God for the blessings he provides is an indicator of our trust in him. Think about that for a second. I suppose, truthfully, this area becomes most difficult for us. When we are blessed, there's a tendency for us to either trust in ourselves or to trust in our blessings. Am I right? We trust in those things that we have, and I think we run to God fast when we have problems. I know I do. But I think we kind of ignore God when we're being blessed. It's easy because things are going well in our life. But we forget he's the one that's given us those things. We forget that he has chosen to bless us in the ways that he has. And there's a tendency for us just to kind of think, you know, I'm doing pretty good here. I don't need the Lord right now. But we need to learn to trust him in plenty, because when we become self-reliant, what happens? We fall. And that's just human nature. It's human nature to say, I've got this. Things are going well in my life right now. Let's just roll forward and not worry about it. But the first hiccup, what do? We go running back to the cross. Lord, help me. It's what happens every time. But let it not be so anymore. Let us say, God, thank you for what you've given me. Lord, thank you for everything that I have, because it's really yours. Now, how can I use it to further your kingdom? It's about trusting him. And the last one, trusting God as our source. Do we trust him as our source? What is our human tendency? It's to trust God's instruments of provision rather than trusting God himself, as we just said. We trust in the job. We trust in the phone call. We are hoping in a phone call. We put our faith in people rather than God. We put our faith in things. Again, we trust the job instead of realizing that God is the provider of the job. We should be trusting in him. We trust our health instead of realizing that God is the provider of our health. We trust in the wrong things. And if you look at Proverbs 18, 10 through 11, there's an interesting contrast between the people who trust in God and the people who trust in themselves for their own or their own possessions. The NIV says it this way: the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run into it and are safe. Isn't that a beautiful picture? I think we've seen that picture before of the lighthouse and the guy standing on one side of it and that big old wave crashing on the other side. Man, God is a strong tower. And He's there for us to go into and be safe. We trust Him as our source. But here's the next verse that says, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city, and they imagine it to be an unscalable wall. What's he saying? Very simply, he's saying that those who trust in the Lord, when they have an issue or need, they immediately go to Him. We trust Him as our source. He is their trust. But those who have great abundance of possessions, great abundance of wealth, they make their wealth a fortified city. And they look at that fortified city and they say this: it's an unscalable wall. I cannot be touched, and I'm going to hide behind it. We know what the stock market does on a daily basis. Rises and falls. And people build their lives hoping that they will have money and possessions and things for the future, when what happens? It crashes. Everything is wiped out from underneath them. And then what happens? They have nothing or no one to turn to. But church, our Lord is a strong tower. Our Lord is the one that we can stand tall in. He's the one that we can have strength in and trust in, that everything that we do is for His glory and for His honor. Because those things that He's given to us, we're to be stewards of. So why? We can give glory to His name. And people will see His good works in us, and that they will turn their life over to Him, and they will begin to put their trust in Him. I want to conclude with this morning and ask these questions. What is your unscalable wall today? What is it that you're putting your trust in? Is it your degree? Is it your savings account? Maybe it's your job. Is it your health? Are you trusting in your possessions rather than trusting in the Lord? Is He the one that you put everything in? God is our source, and He is the platform of our trust. And if we miss out on that, we miss out on anything else. We miss out on everything else, church. My question to you this morning is, have you put your trust in Him? Are you putting your trust in Him? We need to be able to say, God, with all that You have given me, I'm going to give it back to You to use for Your glory. I trust You today. He's called us to be stewards of what He has given to us. I told you we were going to go through this pretty quick. But now is the time for you to respond. Lord, what is it that You've given to me that I need to give back? What is it that You have blessed me with in possessions and talent and time and energy and opportunity that I've squandered? God, forgive me and let me give it back to You. If you're here this morning and you've never placed your trust in the Lord, don't walk out of here without doing so. Your life will be changed forever. Your days will not be the same. Join me in prayer. Gracious Lord, this morning, our trust is in You. Our hope is in You. And Father, my prayer is that our faith will be in You daily. That God, with everything that You've given us, whether it be financial strongholds, whether it be the ability to sing or other talents, Father, whatever it is that You have given to us, God, let us realize that You are the one that has given those. Let us realize that it is in You we stand in strength. Father, I pray that we would trust You for all things. And that, God, this morning we would hear from You afresh that, Lord, You are all that we need. And it's in Your name we pray. Amen.